Today on Real Life Radio.
There's a day coming again in Matthew 25 when Jesus will come back to earth, and he says that he will separate the nations from believers and unbelievers like a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He'll do it again. He's going to do it again.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. What do you say when a friend says their marriage might end? Or how do you help a coworker dealing with depression? Do you have the right words when your child opens up about school stress or family issues or something else? The Biblical Counseling Reference Guide by June Hart. It's your go-to resource when real-life problems demand some real answers. Now, it's an easy-to-read book, and it's simple to find answers that are from the Bible for every situation. With more than 580 topics and over 11,000 scripture references, you'll find what God's Word says about pretty much anything from anxiety and anger to loneliness, death, and a whole lot more. Now, this isn't a book that you're going to pick up and read cover to cover, but it is one that you'll reach for in a moment of need. And it's our thank you gift for your donation of any size to Real Life this month. And if you'd like to order your copy, and we hope you will, just visit jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. Order your copy right away. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Anchored, a Study in 1 Peter, with a message titled, Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 2. The Apostle Peter, of course, was a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter's approach to Christianity was to love the way Jesus loves and to pursue him with all of our hearts. You see, simply knowing who Jesus is or glancing through Scripture, that's really not enough. We need to move past the things that make us uncomfortable and not just readily accept someone else's version of who Jesus is. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that when it comes to the Bible, all of us have access to its truth, all of us. Jesus, through his word, reveals to us that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he will never leave us or forsake us. Please note that today's episode contains content that may not be appropriate for young listeners. So if you have young ones in the room or the car with you, listener discretion is advised. Now with his message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So the Bible is talking about this reality. You see, you have a pastor, we're talking about the disobedient, right? Disobedient? Yes, we're talking about the disobedient. And as we come to this, I'm going to really need you to take notes and write these references down. So again, prior to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us that Jesus went to a place that we would more accurately call Sheol or Hades. Okay, now hang on. According to the Bible, Hades is a place that is currently occupied, and I should have drawn a picture to put on the screens, but I need all of you to watch. Imagine this stage, this platform right now, is called Hades. And right down the center, I mean, I don't mean to freak you out, but let's just use you guys out here. This is better, you guys. You see this aisle right here? This aisle divides both sides of the sanctuary. On this side is Hades, and it would be the living dead. They're dead physically, but they're living in a spirit realm known as the underworld or under the earth. Have you ever read in the Bible where the gospel is preached or this whatever, or the angel, and that his name is glorified of those of earth and under the earth? And this is the reference, the underworld. And on this side, nothing personal, but you all died without Jesus. You died in the days of the Old Testament, according to where we're at right now. You did not believe in the promises of God. You rejected God's message that the Messiah would come someday in the future, and you're there. Now, as of right now, today, 21st century, now, if somebody dies right now without Christ, where do they go? Right with all the rest of you. This location, Hades. It's not hell, like you're thinking, it's Hades. It's not a happy place. It's not good, but it's not the end for you. It's not the end for you. Over here now, watch me. On this side are those who died, this is the underworld, they died, but these who died on this side, they're people like Noah, Isaiah, Micah, Adam and Eve. The believers, they died, watch, they died believing that God would send the promised Messiah that is recorded in Genesis chapter 3, that God would save the world, and they trusted looking ahead. By the way, Christian, stop, pause now, press pause. All of us who are believers, how are you, yes, you're saved by the cross, but how are you saved today? You're looking back at what God did. Are you with me? You look back at what God did. You trust God and you look back. Now, I got to tell you, it's much easier, in my opinion, to believe now and look back than it was for Abraham to live then and to believe and look forward. They didn't have a Bible. You say, yeah, but God appeared to them. That's a good point. That's pretty awesome. So listen, we've got now, right now, we've got in our story, we've got the condemned over here, and we've got the righteous because they've looked forward to God's provision over here. Everybody's in Hades, but right down the middle, the Bible says that there is a rift. There's a grand division. By the way, the Bible says each side can physically see the other, yet these are in comfort and in joy and in paradise. By the way, this is called Abraham's bosom in the Old Testament. Did you know that? Hey, do you remember when the Bible says in the Old Testament that when Daniel died, for example, that he would be gathered to his fathers? Do you remember when it says Joseph would die and he would be gathered to his fathers? This is that description. The Old Testament saint would die. Their body would be put in an ossuary, a sarcophagus ossuary. But their spirit instantly was in what is called Hades or paradise. Are you with me? Are you tracking? I told you this is going to get crazy intense. So you've got this Hades, but you got two divisions here. This is at the time of Christ, and even today when an unbeliever dies, this is where they go. Where do we get this from? Luke chapter 16. Luke 16 verses 19 to 31. Bible students, listen, this is not, I want you to write it down. This is not a parable. This is not a parable. People will tell you, oh, don't worry about that. Don't worry about what Jesus said. It's a parable, just a story. Isn't it interesting? By the way, I had some people walk in the neighborhood yesterday. You know, the cults that knock at your door? They have two things in common. I don't care who they are. You name them, they have two things in common. Number one, Jesus cannot be who he says he was. That's what they believe. And number two, all of them agree, which is funny to me. They all agree, there's no hell. Did you know that? All the cults believe there is no hell. But they want you to give you their money and they want you to attend and become a part of their team. Why would I do that if there's no hell? Okay. Satan doesn't want you to know that there's a hell. If you knew that there was a hell, you wouldn't go there. Amen. If you have a normal brain, you'd say, I'd rather be in the non-smoking section of eternity. It's not a parable. And that's not my opinion. Every parable that Jesus introduced, the Bible says, and he spoke this parable unto them. Are you with me? Luke 16, verse 19, it says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, but there was a certain beggar named, by the way, nobody has names in parables. This particular man, Jesus knows that his name is Lazarus. It's not, there's no way that it's related to the Lazarus of John chapter 10 or 11. This is a man by the name of Lazarus. He's full of sores, who was laid at his gate, that's the rich man's gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And so it was that when the beggar died, he was carried by the angels to, what? Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Notice that his body was buried. And being in torment in, where? Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, that is, in his embrace. Then he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. But Abraham said, isn't that a weird dialogue, you guys? They can see one. Can you imagine that? So I don't believe it. Jesus believes it. It's in the Bible here. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, here it comes. Between us and you, there is a gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Stop right there. Wow. Do you hear this? Jesus is saying, nope, none of this extracurricular stuff. No slideshow, no epiphanies. Everybody's got the same truth. Go to Moses, go to the prophets. Translation, go to the Old Testament. Jesus said, go to the Old Testament and read it. Every one of us in this room have had the opportunity to read the Old Testament, haven't you? We all have. I don't own a Bible. Well, number one, we'll give you a Bible. Number two, yes, you do. If you own a smartphone, you own a Bible. It's on your smartphone, the Bible. It's all there. No one's got an excuse in the 21st century. Look at verse 30. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, Abraham says to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. This is Hades that Jesus is referring to. This is the location that Peter is speaking about. It's remarkable. So as I mentioned earlier, that Jesus would have made an announcement. He's looking after his crucifixion. Jesus is looking into Hades, or he's appeared in Hades, and he sees Noah and Abraham, and he sees all of the righteous that have passed. He sees all of the wicked that have passed. Think of it. And what does he do? Can I just put it this way? The word to announce, as I said to Harold, maybe it was like this. Hey, all of you guys, remember what they were telling you? Remember what they said? Noah, where are you? Yeah, you, Noah. You guys from the flood, remember for 120 years that dude was preaching to you guys as he built the boat? I'm the one. Those of you guys who knew Abraham, remember what he was saying? I'm the one. Those of you who talked to Adam and Eve after the fall and they told you about God would promise salvation, that one, the Messiah, would come through the birth of a virgin, I'm the one. He makes an announcement. I'm the one. He doesn't preach and they get saved. He simply reveals, I'm the fulfillment of what they talked to you about. You reject it. Remarkable.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
By the way, there's a day coming again in Matthew 25 when Jesus will come back to earth, and he says that he will separate the nations from believers and unbelievers like a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He'll do it again. He's going to do it again. Remarkable. The Bible says, you say, Jack, this is freaky. I know it's freaky. That's why I've been warning you for 2 weeks. Watch this. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 8, therefore he says, quoting the Old Testament now, when he ascended on high, this refers to a the priestly position of Christ. So when he ascended on high, so watch everybody, when he ascended on high, look what it says next, he led captivity captive. What is this? It's a reference to the righteous who were in Hades. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and he made the announcement to all who were in Hades, he then turns to those who were the believers and he led captivity captive. You who were there, he grabs. You are his trophy. You are his, in a sense, fruit from his salvation. Keep looking at Ephesians 4, verse 8, which is a remarkable statement, and gave gifts to men. Every scholar understands that that's a reference to the day of Pentecost. So watch this. He dies on the cross. His body's laid in a tomb. His spirit is always alive. He descends to Hades. He announces to the damned that he was the one that was to come in salvation. He announces to the saved, you're mine. Let's go. And today, as of 8:30 this morning in the 21st century, those that are in Hades are still there awaiting the judgment. And this location, because he led captivity captive, is empty. No one goes here anymore. It's gone. When you die today, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Today, listen, Jesus talked to the thief on the cross. Interesting. He said, today, you will be with me in the thief on the cross at the point of death immediately went with Jesus Christ to that location. He had the shortest stay of anybody, the thief on the cross. Listen, technically, if you know your theology, nobody could officially enter heaven unless he who is the first fruits from the dead. Book of Hebrews says Jesus is the first fruits from the dead. Christ had to enter first before we could enter in. So watch this. I hope you're not confused. Jesus dies on the cross. He announces to all, says bye-bye. We'll see you guys later on. To you guys, hey, let's go. Come on, let's go. Boom, he leads captivity captive. The proof of his arrival into heaven, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit descended. He said, I will pray to the Father. Jesus said, I will ask of my Father when I get to heaven to send you the Holy Spirit. Amen. He'll never leave you or forsake you. The Bible tells us 50 days later, 50 days later, what happened on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came, recorded in the book of Acts chapter 2. What does that do? That proves that Jesus Christ arrived into heaven, that his offering was accepted, and that it says he gave gifts to men from the day of Pentecost. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11, is the one who gives gifts to the believers that cause the church to work. Amen. That's amazing. Are you guys okay? Yeah. All right. That was one interpretation. There's great scholars on the other side of this fence. Here it comes. Great scholars. They say this, that the spirits of those who are in prison are those lost souls, like I just said. The next group of Bible scholars, interpreters throughout, predominantly, it's gained popularity over the last 800 years, last 1,000 years. The first 1,000 years were heavily, heavily what I just described to you a moment ago. Okay, now there's been this changing view. So we'll call it interpretation number two. And it's found in Genesis chapter 6. So you want to turn there or you want to mark it down. The Bible says in Genesis 6, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. Listen carefully. And daughters were born to them. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a weird statement. I saw someone the other day, last night at the store. And she had a shirt on. Obviously, it was a feminist shirt. And it says, The future belongs to women. And in my mind, I didn't say this because I didn't want to get on the news, but in my mind, in my mind, I said, in my mind, not without a man, you're not. How dare you say that? Oh, it's easy. I love biology and science. The future is the future. There will be women in the future, and there will be men in the future. But the only way the women can take the future is if men and women have sex to create boys and girls. Amen. Boys become men. That's supposed to be the plan anyway. And girls become women. Amen. I know what she meant, and I'm being overly sensitive and specific, but you can't have a future without a man and a woman getting together, and I don't mean for coffee. Are you with me? Yes. What a statement the Bible says. It came to pass when men began to, that's mankind, by the way. When mankind began to multiply in the face of the earth, you can't have multiplication without a male, female. Then it says daughters were born to them. Well, daughters had always been being born to them. What does this mean? If you're in a good Old Testament class, it means something weird is up. We watch carefully. Daughters were born to them. Church, look. Them who? Who? People. Verse 2. That, there's a response now. Daughters are being born. Verse 2. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men. That they were beautiful. And they took them. By the way, the word is violent. They seized upon them. Wives, that's the King James way of being very polite, by the way, for them, of all whom they chose. Stop right there. Old Testament, are you sitting down? Write this down. This is for your future study. The daughters were born to those of mankind. Verse 1 is men. Not to be offended, ladies. The word men here is all of us. We use the word mankind. Are you with me? Mankind produces daughters. The daughters that were produced caught the eye of the sons of God. I don't know nothing. What does this mean? No problem. Look up the sons of God in the Old Testament. When the words sons of God appear in the Old Testament, it's always speaking about angels. Angels, exclusively angels. Sons of God in the Old Testament are angels, says the Bible. Let's keep reading. Verse 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. So this is a judgment. For he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. How long did it take Noah to build the boat? 120 years. And there were giants on the earth in those days. You think something's a little weird going on here? Let's just keep reading. Let the Bible speak for itself. And also afterward. What does that mean? After the 120 years. There were giants before the flood, and there were giants after the flood. How come? When the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them, those were mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Does anybody know how many fingers and toes they had?
Six.
How did you know that? It's in the Bible. It says that these things had six fingers and six toes on each hand and foot. The Bible says that they were able to throw a spear the weight of a weaver's beam. So what's that? 135-pound spear. Some of you have been with us to Gamla, where Israel archaeologists have unearthed sarcophagus that are 10 feet long to house the bodies. Many of them. So what are you saying? Would you admit this is weird? Now you see why pastors say, and so we'll just keep right into 1 Peter chapter 4.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called, Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 2. You know, this message, by the way, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, who really, his love for Jesus carried him through some great persecution. and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, this is Pastor Jack, and I want to encourage you to join me every morning this year at 5 a.m. Pacific time, where we literally get together online in a prayer group. And there are thousands who are joining us. I'd love for you to participate. That's 5 a.m. every day throughout the entire year. We get together and pray. I look forward to meeting up with you.
Come get prayed for and join Pastor Jack in the Word. That's the Lift Daily Prayer every day this year on Pastor Jack's Facebook page. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.